Chapter 3. Paris. The curtains were still drawn, and it was approaching midday. There was no double lining to the curtains, so the sun made its presence known in the room. The window was kept open overnight. Summer in Paris was a different heat from the summer sun in Turkey. Paige would enjoy the walks along the shore with the fresh breeze drifting off the waves while working in Turkey. But now, here in Paris, a city rich in its romance and culture of arts, Paige does all she can to hide away from the outside. It was always a city that she had wanted to share with him, with Fabian. They both agreed that they would one day have an apartment in Paris when they finally had successfully carried out their plan. The alarm clock on the table beside beeped again. Paige, laid face up on the bed, stared at the ceiling, reached over with her hand and pressed the snooze button. She had lost count of how many times she had done this since it first rang at 7 a.m. Apart from the one visit to the bathroom, she remained in bed. The room was a small studio apartment, a single bed surrounded with scattered clothes all over the floor. One double wardrobe was tucked between the desk and the corner of the wall to the opposite side of the bed. To the far corner near the window, there was a small fridge on the floor that Paige used to keep the bare essentials such as milk, eggs and vegetables. She had been able to adapt to function during the day with minimal food. It was a Sunday and she had nowhere to be. No friends to have brunch with, no paperwork to catch up with from the week. She wanted to visit no exhibitions and exercise was non-existent for her. Over the last few years, since she had moved here, the most minimal of basic human interaction and functioning was all she had been capable of doing. Her world shattered into fragments the day she learned about Fabian's death. She lays there, in bed, seeing those images in her head, reliving those moments repeatedly. She knew that the addictive nature of this pain now had become a need for her. Laying there was the only way to remember him, Fabian, and to remember everything that he had given her. The strength, the dreams, the life they were owed together. The monotonous beeping from the alarm clock rang again. This time, Paige pulled the covers off of her and swung her legs around to the edge of the bed and sat up. Her head felt light, and the room spun slightly for a couple of seconds. She waited to allow herself to become adjusted to the posture. She looked down at her thighs as she sat on the edge of the bed, and she noticed how thin they were, but shook that image from her mind to ignore the reminder of what she had become. She became aware of the smell of being unkempt coming from her body and struggled to recall when she last showered. It certainly had been a few weeks since she washed the t-shirt she constantly wore to bed. It was Fabian's t-shirt. Although she knew that it no longer carried his smell, she still only washed it as minimally as needed. Her hair fell over her face as she bent down to focus on something shining on the floor, but she realised it was just a paperclip. As she straightened her head back to neutral, a wave of dizziness and nausea washed over her. The hunger that festered in her stomach took her by surprise. The cramping pain caused by the acid hitting the empty wall of her stomach followed the growl. She sighed, gradually forced herself out of bed and stood on her bare feet. Looking around the room, she tried to find a sign of inspiration to get her to do something useful today, but she just struggled, as every other day. During the weekdays, she was forced to be up and out early for her job, but at the weekends, it was always the same, spending as much time hidden away from the world as possible. At first, it was only until she could mourn and process Fabian's death. Then it rolled into the trauma of what she did, but it was all followed by the self-harm of needing to be punished for not protecting Fabian. But deep down, she knew they were in this together. The small room that adjoined the bedroom consisted of a basin sink, toilet and corner shower unit with a pathetic worn-away shower curtain on a rail to give some form of privacy. Paige took her toothbrush, with a pea-sized measure of toothpaste on it, into the shower. She let the cold water rinse her body while she cleaned her teeth at the same time. Not at all feeling disturbed by the cold snap of the water stinging her skin, taking her towel to dry her hair, she wrapped it around her torso and returned to sit on the bed. The water from her damp hair dripped onto her shoulders and down her back. The bedsheets around her were becoming damp, which was another reminder that she needed to put a wash on. She sat looking at the newspaper clippings she had kept all of these years on the bedside cabinet. On that day, when it was broadcast on the World BBC News channel in Turkey, she visited every news site on the internet to read the same events she saw on the television. The following day, the international printed newspapers carried the same story in Turkish and English. She got as many papers as possible and cut out every article with the details. That day she wanted so desperately to find some form of inconsistencies in the version of events that would perhaps mean that it was not true. She had not had any contact from Fabian, and every time she tried calling his phone it went straight to voicemail. Sitting there, she stared at the pile of newspaper cuttings detailing how a man was found shot dead in one of the rooms at the Greenwich Maritime Museum in London. How early indications have the authorities baffled as to who he is or the motive of the murder. How that was the moment that all her drive and focus drained away from her in Turkey. It was at that moment that she understood what she also had done. Until that moment, any form of fear was damped by the fact that she was part of a team with Fabian. But now that he was no more, the reality of her own actions started to invade her mind. She only had the strength to do what she had done because Fabian was by her side. There was no fear, no judgment, no risk of moral entanglement from her because the man she loved, the man she valued more than her own life, Fabian, was there to hold her hand and to build the dreams together. But that day that she saw how Fabian was no more, the cold numbness of what she had done and now needed to deal with alone hit her. How she planned and executed the brutal murder of the professor, Maynard, because of the unconditional plan and team that she was with Fabian. But now, that was all nothing but a distant, false narrative, and she is living with aspects of blood and death on her hands and conscience. The movement of the curtains caught her attention. A breeze came through, and she took note of the busy streets below. She heard the movement of people on the cobblestones and trucks passing by. The French accent of individuals talking as they walked past. The studio apartment was tucked away in a congested building along the narrow and steep streets of the Montmartre area of Paris. This area was rich in the history of 19th and 20th century painters and poets that had enriched this area in its bohemian style. Thousands of tourists flocked there, but not Paige. She stayed hidden away in the winding back streets of this area, between the sex shops and the small cafes littered around the area. With the summer months now approaching, there was an influx of tourists coming to see one of the main attractions of Paris that was on the doorstep of Paige's home for now, the Sacré Cœur. She unwrapped the towel from her body and rubbed her hair with it. The reminder of her empty stomach made its presence known again. She looked over to Fabian's t-shirt flung over the back of the chair and she knew she would have to put it in the wash today. This saddened her. Another task that added to the fading of his presence. She felt the sweat forming in small beads on her body once again with the heat coming into the room from the open window. There was no air conditioning. It was all Paige could afford at present, and more importantly, it was the place where she could stay hidden from others and just blend in until she understood what her life had become. The small cube-sized fridge rested on the floor. She knelt beside it, naked, and pulled it open. Waiting for her were the contents of a quarter pint of milk, two eggs and a carton of Greek yogurt, half full. As she reached for an egg, her hand trembled, and she took a moment to try to steady it. She knew it would be good to have at least one egg to eat with some bread that she saw on the small worktop that also housed one small electric hob. The curtain moved again with the breeze, allowing light rays to hit her eyes. She squinted at the brightness and thought that she couldn't wait to try and eat and get back to bed. Slowly, she got up from the floor and felt the pain in her knees and hips. No longer did she have the strength that someone her age should have. Her muscles had wasted away from the neglect that she had put herself through. She gritted her teeth and moved slowly to the worktop surface to try to make something to eat. She opened her eyes and for a moment was confused about where she was. Her surrounding is now dark, and as she looked around, she remembered that she was in her bedroom, back in bed. She turned her head over to the floor and saw the dirty plate containing the eggshells and half a slice of bread from her earlier meal. A wave of nausea comes over her, making her turn her head back to the ceiling. She felt the dampness of the sweat on her back and under her chin. She vaguely remembered having a shower earlier. Blinking again, her eyelids still felt heavy, so she allowed them to close for a while longer. She felt her head spinning inside her skull while lying there, now with her eyes closed. Unsure how much time passed, minutes or hours, she became restless with being unable to settle back into a deep sleep. Reluctantly, she had turned her head to the bedside table and caught the time on the clock. It was just past 9 p.m, which explained why it was dark in the room. The darkness was better for her to venture out now. At work, she could hide under all the clothes and work-related duties to keep her busy and out of people's way. Outside work, she used the cover of the night to get some air and normality. After a deep sigh, she forced herself to get out of bed once again, and this time to put some clothes on to venture out into the darkness of the world.